Advent is a time of expectation, of longing for the coming of God into the world in human form. In the liturgy, the church expresses this longing each day of the last 7 days before Christmas with a unique and beautiful and magnificent antiphon in the evening prayer of the church that expresses our longing for the coming of Christ. Each of these short prayers starts with the word O, as they are addressing God himself, and they express great desire and longing. Because of this, they are called the O antiphons, and they are sung to an absolutely majestic melody. I wanted to read each one of these 7 short prayers to you today, and you'll see what I mean. They are mysterious and impressive, and you can see how they make us want our Lord to come and save us as well. The first of these prayers, which is said on December 17th every year, says, O wisdom, who goes forth from the mouth of the Most High and reaches from one end of the universe to the other and orders all things with power and gentleness, come and teach us the path of thy prudence. This prayer tells us that there is only one thing that matters, which is our salvation. We have to practice the virtue of prudence in order to be saved. Prudence means that we have to use the most efficacious means to attain any goal, especially a goal that is as important as our salvation. In fact, when it comes to our salvation, we have to use the means of grace as much as possible. If we read, for example, the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 of them were prudent and 5 were completely foolish. They were not prudent. They didn't have oil in their lamps when the bridegroom came. In a similar way, if a Catholic doesn't practice his faith and doesn't learn his faith and find out what God wants him to do in order to fulfill it, he is extremely imprudent. And he will have the same fate as the foolish virgins who were cast into the exterior darkness. The second of the O antiphons, which is said the following day on December 18th, it says, O Lord, guide of thy people, who didst appear to Moses in the burning bush, and give him the law on Mount Sinai, come and save us with thy outstretched arm. This tells us that we have to obey the law that God has given us, the 10 commandments that he gave on Mount Sinai. And if we don't want to follow the moral law, it is because we are too weak and cowardly to follow the example of our Lord. And we need God's grace. And the weaker we are, the more grace we need. That is why the church concludes that prayer by saying, save us with thy outstretched arms. And so on Christmas Day, we have to correspond with the grace that he offers to us, and we have to give up our sins with God's help. The next day, the church prays, O root of Jesse, you stand as a sign to the nations, and kings will look upon you with awe. And people will pray to you and say, come and save us and delay not. So this prayer tells us the importance of following our Lord with determination. It shows us the importance of following our Lord as true children of his church. And we do that by loving God more than anything in the world and avoiding any form of sin. The next prayer says, O key of David and scepter of the house of Israel, you open and no one closes. You close and no one opens. Come and lead him that is bound out of his prison where he sits in darkness and in the shadow of death. And of course, this represents the human race who is bound and in prison. And our Lord is like the key to unlock our chains and set us free. That is what the church is praying for. This prayer also warns us that it's possible for us to fall from grace, from sanctifying grace, and even commit mortal sin. And if we do this, then we will be sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. We want the key of David to come and unlock our chains and set us free. That is something we always have to be afraid of, sin. We have to take the strongest measures to protect ourselves against it by avoiding even the occasions of sin. The next antiphon says, O splendor of eternal light and sun of justice, come and enlighten those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. So the second part of being holy after we are freed from sin is that we are not satisfied only with avoiding sin, but we also want to walk in the light of the sun of justice, meaning to walk according to our faith, to live our whole lives the way our faith teaches. This will certainly be a beautiful Christmas for us this year if this season of grace that begins with Christmas will make us want sanctity and justice, and if we live the rest of our lives in accordance with our faith. The sixth antiphon says, O King of the nations, and thou who art most desired, thou art the cornerstone that joins what was separated. Come and save man whom thou hast formed from the slime of the earth. Now, it was sin that separated us from God and divided the human race itself. And Christ came to reunite us to God. He is the cornerstone that now unites the two walls of man and God. Just as a cornerstone is a stone of both walls, it's where they join to each other. In the same way, Christ is both God and man. Our Lord came to restore the original peace between God and man, and he sent the angels, in fact, to sing to the shepherds. They said, "Peace on earth to men of good will." Of course, only the good, those of good will, can ever have peace of any kind. God came to make all of us good if we will only allow him and cooperate with his grace. If we are not at peace with God now, that means we are in the state of mortal sin. So we have to come to confession with true sorrow and receive his forgiveness and mercy. And then after that, we have to use the means of grace from then on to avoid sinning again. Our Lord does not ask the impossible from us. He always gives us the graces we need to avoid sin. Even if it is very difficult for us to do so, we always have the help that we need. The last antiphon, which is said on the day before Christmas Eve, says to God, O Emmanuel, our King and Lawgiver, the hope and the Redeemer of nations, save us, thou who art our Lord and our God. The word Emmanuel means God with us. The church uses this as an admonition to us that God must be with us on this Christmas. And what is the closest union that God can have with us? Of course, it is in Holy Communion, the closest union that we can ever have with him. On Christmas, we have to remove whatever obstacle we may have to receiving Holy Communion by receiving his forgiveness in confession, so that we can have God with us in our heart and in our souls on this holy feast of Christmas that is approaching. These are the seven final appeals of the church to God before Christmas, asking him to come down from heaven and save us. We have to follow the spirit of these prayers so that the coming of the Lord will not be in vain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.